I want you to look again at verse number 12. The Bible says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. I follow after. Verse number 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an ensample or example. So I want to preach about this subject, following the pattern. Following the pattern. I guess in a way this could actually go along with our monthly, the monthly thing that we're doing, because it is climbing the mountain of discipleship. And in a way, I think discipleship could be giving someone, you know, you could define it as giving someone a pattern and then helping them follow that pattern to attain something better. You know, that's kind of what discipleship is. We're, you know, we're trying to help people grow to be more like us. No, to be more like Christ. So we're setting a pattern for them to follow. So I want to talk about that tonight, following the pattern. And here at the very beginning, we're going to jump through the Bible, just hit a bunch of references. And I think it'll be easier because I'll reference some of these later as far as what we're reading. But let's just look at them real quick. And I think God instituted, and if you think about what the Bible is, basically, folks, the Bible is a big pattern book. It's a big book of examples is all it is. And if you think about it, I think it'll help you. Let's go back to John chapter 13. We'll use our Bibles. And I thought about just writing all these down and reading them to you, but it's not that hard to find them. So John chapter 13, verse number 15. This is after Jesus just washed the disciples' feet. The Bible says, "For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you." I've given you examples that ye should do as I have done to you. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. Verse number 7. "For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us." To make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. 1 Timothy chapter number 1, should be a page over. Verse number 16. "Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ, might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 12, very familiar verse. "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Jump over to chapter number 6, verse number 11. "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 22. "Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Titus chapter number 2. Verse number 6. "Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you." And then Hebrews chapter 13. Verse number 7, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." And we're going to jump into our first point off of Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 7. But I just want to make this, talk to you tonight about following the pattern. Whether you know it or not, most of us follow a pattern of some kind, all right? And most of you would, in your work or something like that, you always have the pattern. Everyone follows a pattern. Let me say this, everyone is a pattern. Everyone is a pattern to somebody else. Everyone is an example to somebody else. Whether you want to be an example or not, people are always watching. They're always observing what you're doing. Like I said, Old Testament is full of examples. We go to James chapter 5, verse 10. The Bible tells us that the prophets, we can look back to the prophets and see an example of their lives. And you, sometimes you think, well, wonder why God put all the things in the Bible that he put in the Bible. It was an example. God put things in the Bible so we can see, not only see what good people did, but to see what happened as a result of people's evil that they did also. And that, if you look at the Old Testament, that's all it is. You know, why did God put the whole journey of the children of Israel in the Bible? Just so we have a history lesson of the children of Israel? No. He put it there so we can observe the children of Israel's life and their downfallings and the things that they did right and how God cursed them and or caused bad things to happen when they did something wrong, or God blessed them when they did something right. It's just an example. It's a pattern, all right? So there's this pattern in everything. So I've got three short things, and honestly, I think it'll make sense to you after I get into it. But things about patterns. I use a pattern a lot for all kinds of stuff that I do. Sometimes I don't use a pattern, obviously. If you looked at some of the stuff I built, it's like, whoa, where did he come up with that? All right? It's like, he obviously didn't have a pattern for that. All right, but I use a pattern sometimes, and sometimes I don't use patterns, okay? But the first thing I want to tell you about a pattern is you don't choose a pattern in its pattern form to start with, all right? Let me clarify this. When you're choosing a pattern, you choose the product, not the pattern, all right? Now think about that, all right? Ladies, if you sew, you go to the store and you don't just, you know, flip through and don't look at the picture on the front and just pick out a pattern with what you have in mind of what you want it to turn out at when you get done. No, you go through and you find the skirt or the dress that you want, and then you take that pattern. Okay? Men, if you're building something, if you're building a house or you're building a, you know, maybe a small project for a cabinet or something, and you've got a pattern, you don't just randomly pick a pattern and hope it turned out to be what you want it. You find something that is designed the way you want it, and then you take that pattern. So my first point is this: you have to choose the product before you choose the pattern. You have to choose the product before you choose the pattern. Brother Tim does machine work. Maybe there's some other guys in here that does machine work. He don't start out with just a piece of metal and say, I'm just going to throw it in the machine, and I hope the machine turns out what I want it to. He has to have a pattern, but he has in his mind what he wants first. All right, I said that sometimes I use a pattern, sometimes I don't. But almost everything that I do, I have an idea in my mind of what I want it to be. Now, when I'm dealing with metal stuff and I'm building something with metal, I use scrap metal, okay? I'm a junkyard junkie, okay? I'm always going down there to Wright's. The guys know me down there by name, all right? And I go down there to Wright's and I say, hey, Randy. And I never sell anything, so automatically when I go down there, he's like, oh, I'll go look around, which is rare for most junkyards. But he'll let me climb all over everything, go look for whatever I need, and I'll say, I found something, so he'll get his loader and come out there and get it for me. But the reason I don't use a pattern a lot of times is because, I mean, you're just kind of using what you find, all right? So between a torch and a welder, you can do a pretty good job, but it doesn't always, you know, it doesn't always start with the piece of metal that would be the ideal welder's dream, okay? You know, it takes 5 hours to get all the rust off of it, and then you can actually start welding on it. So it's kind of like, okay, you kind of have to improvise a little bit. But still, in the end, I've still got something in my mind that I'm trying to make. I don't just start out and I just go in and I start cutting pieces of metal apart and welding stuff together. No, I have something I want to build. I have something I want to make. I'm still starting with the product, even though I don't necessarily have a blueprint. I just got something in my mind. I built that grapple bucket. And you know what I did? I spent probably 2 months researching these things. And I found there was not really any one, besides not the price that I didn't really want to pay the price that they wanted for them, but each different company would have something that, man, I really like that feature. But then not this other company, maybe they had another feature I really liked. Or this other company, And so I was like, well, I took features off of each one and come up with something that would work for me. All right. But you know what? I still had the product in my mind before I had the pattern. All right. In our lives, you have to choose the product first, then the pattern. You don't choose the pattern first, you choose the product first. You know, folks, I have to decide what in my life I want my life to be. What are people going to say about me when I'm, you know, at the end of Brother Chad's life? What do I want them to say? What do I want to accomplish for God? Okay, we'll set that up and then figure out, well, how do I get there from here? For my kids, what do I want to accomplish? What do I want to have in their life? Okay, now I have the product I want. Now I need to go find a pattern to get them to that spot. So I have to start with the product before I ever start with a pattern. And you know what, folks? The Bible gives us the product that we can have, and it also gives us the pattern. You can go through the Bible and you can look at the pattern of people that did wrong with their life, but you can also see you can look at the end of their life and say, well, I don't, you know, the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, I think it was in Hebrews, I don't have this one written down, but if you go to the book of Hebrews, it talks about they were an example to those that should live ungodly after them. Think about that. Why did God put the story of Sodom and Gomorrah in the Bible? It was an example to those people that want to live ungodly after them. Why did God put the story of, you know, the people that were after God's heart? Why did God put the story of David in the Bible, of Enoch in the Bible, of different men that walked with God? Why did God put those stories? He was showing the product before the pattern. And folks, at some point, you just got to figure out, what do you want to do with your life? What do you want to be? What do you want your children to be? I told the kids in children's church, I preached on obedience. I basically told a long story in children's church last Sunday. And I prefaced it by saying this. I said, you know, young people, when you leave here, they're in there for 5 years, in children's church for 5 years. So that's 260 Sundays if they came every Sunday. You could teach a kid a lot in 260 sessions if they would listen, if they would pay attention. Well, I got to thinking, and Preacher just said something about this not too long ago, but if I had a list of things that I wanted all those children's church kids to know and to be able to do and to understand, I have to have a plan to get them to that stage. Do I just go in there and preach I just decided to preach this week? No, it has a purpose. It has something I'm trying to build into their life. So when they leave, you know, when we're out there, you know, ideally, when we send them in here, and it doesn't always happen, but I want a young person that's going to sit up there and pay attention and do what they're supposed to do and not talk and not bother their neighbor. You know, why does Brother Chad have rules? You know, pastor doesn't get up here every Sunday morning and rule number one, no talking. No, that's Mrs. Walton's job. That's Brother Chad's job. So that then when we're trying to produce a product, so that when they get up here, he doesn't have to sit up here and, you know, he don't have to have workers on the side with quiet seat prizes. Okay? Although some of you would you do better if you had a quiet seat prize? All right? But you know what? We're trying to produce a product. That's why we have a pattern. That's why, no, you're not allowed to bother your neighbor. No, you're not allowed to talk. That's a pattern, that's an example that we're trying to set for them. All right? So that when they reach the age that they're coming to the adult, they can act halfway like an adult. All right? Sometimes if you'll notice, sometimes he's like, oh, there was these people in church Sunday and they were just talking and wouldn't listen. And honestly, sometimes if you'll notice, they weren't brought up from Miss Nancy's class all the way through. They came in maybe, you know, 14, 15, 16. They didn't have an example set before them. They didn't have that pattern to follow, all right? So I hope you see what I'm saying here. You need to have a product. What do you want to accomplish? What do you want to do? Then have a pattern. You say, "Bro, Chad, I struggle with some things in my life." Well, do you want to gain victory over it? That would be a good, an end result. Then you need to have some way, a plan to get to it. When Pastor taught in the, before this young adult class, the old one, he had a ladder, a parental ladder. And it was to help. He said, "What do you want in your kids? Well, how are you going to do that?" And he gave a list of things, how you can get what you want in your kids. And it was good. But he gave you a ladder to climb to get to that point. So you need to choose the product first, then the pattern. You know, when I look at different people and different people in the church, I want to thank you for being a good example, a good pattern for me. You know, man, that couple, they got a happy marriage. And you know what I do? Whether you know it or not, I watch you guys. I watch what you do. Because you're an example. You're a pattern. That's what Paul said. He said, we're an example that you can follow. But Paul said, be followers of me as I am of Christ. Paul was taught by Christ. All right? So we can follow Paul. You know what, folks? We can follow Pastor. He's a good example of what we should be. If Pastor's following Christ, we can follow Pastor who is following Christ. All right? Now, you know, when I've got a pattern, I have it for something I'm going to make, all right? So we need to figure out the product first, then you can develop a pattern. Preacher says this all the time, the ultimate goal of the Christian life is to be like Christ. The ultimate goal of the Christian life is to be like Christ. In Hebrews chapter number 13, verse 7, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Now look at the last part. Considering the end of their conversation. This is exactly what I'm talking about. Consider the end. What have they produced? All right? You know, folks, if you would get Pastor's book, and I'm not just, you know, I'm trying to exalt my preacher, but I think he's got good stuff. You know, when I got Pastor's book, The Teenage Years of Jesus Christ, I'm not saying I did everything in that book. If I would have, I would have been a better Christian. I will say that. Okay? There's nothing in that book that, I can't do that. But you know what? Mostly and largely and in part due to my parents and Pastor, I am a product. My generation and those that would obey what was written, not only in the teachings and in the writings, Pastor, we are the product of what Pastor taught. Now you say, well, Brother Chad, you have this shortcoming. I got lots of shortcomings. And you know where most of my shortcomings are? Is because at some point in my life, I refused to follow the pattern that was set before me. Don't throw rocks at Pastor. You know, well, this so-and-so grew up under this ministry and they didn't do what was right. Go back and show me every place that they followed the pattern that was set before them. I guarantee there's places, myself included, I'm just as bad. There's places that we deviated from the pattern, all right? And guys, when you're cutting something with a jigsaw, you know, you have a pattern that you cut. Well, if you want the end product, you got to follow the pattern, don't you? All right. If you got a countertop, I got to put a countertop in here soon, and it comes with a cutout from the sink. Well, you know, you cut it 4 inches bigger just because you decide that the hole looked too small. It's going to look really big once you get it put in there. Why? Because you didn't follow the pattern. All right. Very simple stuff. Super simple. All right. So choose the product first, then the pattern. If you want a happy marriage, choose somebody that has a happy marriage. Follow the pattern. If you want children that are doing what's right, find an older couple that have children that grew up and did what was right. Go ask them, hey, can I take 5 minutes, 10 minutes? Something I wish I knew all the questions to ask some people sometimes. Some of the older folks. I wish I had the foreknowledge, because I know my kids are going to run into the same thing that your kids ran into. And I wish I had the foreknowledge to say, man, I have 50 questions I want to ask them. But, you know, the sad thing is sometimes we don't realize that we need to ask a question until it's too late to ask a question. So what are you going to try to produce? Find somebody that has produced that Go ask them. Follow the pattern. All right? Choose a product, then the pattern. Number two, deviation from the pattern produces a different product. A deviation from the pattern produces a different product. When I'm cutting rafters, this building has scissor trusses in it. Has anybody ever cut rafters before? Okay, few people. My grandpa always used a regular square, okay? When I learned to cut rafters, I learned to cut rafters down in Kentucky when I worked for a framer. Every guy does something different, okay? But this is the way he taught me, and a lot of things that I do was as a result. I saw what he did, and it was success, so I followed the pattern, okay? I use a speed square. It's just most of you know what a speed square is, and I use a Swanson speed square. They're pretty good. They have things on the other speed squares. No. But you know what? If you cut a rafter, okay, let's say I'm going to cut a rafter from my ridge to my wall, and I'm going to cut my bird's mouth in it, and I cut my rafter, and I set it up there, and man, it fits perfect. I mean, Brother Don, it's dead on, all right? And I'd like, okay, now you know what I do with that rafter? If it fits perfect, you know what that rafter then is? It's my pattern. Now, I've done this, and I've had guys that have been helping me that do this. You know what I do when my boss always did? He'd mark on this, he'd put P-A-T and circle it real big, okay? You were not allowed to use that rafter for anything else. That rafter, honestly, when you were done with the house, that rafter would still be sitting there. It wasn't. You were not allowed to use it. It had to be saved because it was what? The pattern. It was the example. It was the ensample. Okay? Now, when I first started working for him, I didn't know a lot. I learned so much from this guy. When I first started working for him, he's like, okay, you need to cut these rafters. So he got me. We were working on a 3-story house overlooking a big river, and it was one of the hip, and it was all cut up. I mean, it had 3 different pitches on it. It had a 6-12, an 8-12, and a 4-12, and they were all, everything was mixed up, okay? And he was good with his angles. He could figure his angles. He could figure his length of his rafters without measuring, basically, just based on height, based on width. He's pretty good. And he's like, okay, this is your pattern. He's like, I want you to draw these out and cut them. Yeah, I can do that. It's pretty simple. So I drew my first one out and I cut it. I took that one that I just cut, put it on another board, and drew it out and cut it. Then I took that one and put it on another board and drew it out and cut it. Well, do you know a carpenter's pencil is a 1/2 inch wide and 1/4 inch thick? So if you've got a 1/2 inch wide and 1/4 inch thick, it's one of them neat trick things. But anyway, you could run your pencil flat ways, and you've got if it's 1/4 of a quarter, you've got 1/8 of an inch. So your lead is 1/8 of an inch off of where the side of your pencil is. All right? Just, that's FYI, I guess, more than anything. So I'm cutting all these rafters. Well, let's say I'm cutting a 1/16 long, because he said, oh, leave your mark when you're cutting them. So I make my mark. And I leave my mark. I cut each one between 1/16 and 1/8 long. Do you know after 8 rafters, my rafter is 1 inch longer than it needs to be? So I'm getting, you know, I felt pretty good. I cut them real quick. I was like, got them ready, boss. Yeah. What are you guys doing up there? So I started throwing rafters up. He's like, what's going on? I was like, I cut them. Exactly the way I should have. He's like, did you follow the pattern? I was like, yeah, on the first one. He's like, well, that's the only one that fits. So all these rafters that I had spent, you know, my professional carpentry time on, none of them fit right. They were all cut wrong. Do you know why? Because I deviated from the pattern. I deviated from the pattern. Well, folks, if you want the product, you have to follow the pattern. If you want a different product, then by all means, go ahead and deviate from the from the pattern. But if you want the product, follow the pattern. You'll see this in the Bible. This happened a lot in the Bible. I want my kids to turn out like such and such. Well, then follow the pattern. But I don't want to follow these principles, these standards. Well, then don't expect the product. You can't have the product if you don't want the pattern. All right? If pastor has rules and pastor has things that he has set up, it's a pattern for us to follow. Well, I just want my kids to turn out right. But there are just some things that I don't agree with. Your product's not going to be the same. It's called quality control. You know when guys are doing quality control and they throw something out that's not meet specs, it's because at some point something deviated from the pattern. Brother Tim, the machine deviated, the cutters deviated from the pattern. So they're saying, we're not sending that to the company. So if you want the product, follow the pattern. If you want a different product, go find a different pattern. If my mom sews, I don't know. To me, this is really simple. I don't. Maybe it's too complicated, but when I'm cutting something, if I don't follow my line, whose fault is that? It's the line's fault. A line is a straight thing from point A to point B. It's not the line's fault. It didn't move. Oh, my saw's cutting crooked. No, it's not. I'm cutting crooked. All right? It's not. If you want the product, follow the pattern. All right? Sorry. Simplicity really astounds me sometimes. Mark chapter number 10. Mark chapter number 10, verse number 17. So first of all, choose the product first, then the pattern. Then after you've decided on what product you want and have chosen your pattern, remember that any deviation from the pattern produces a different product. We'll see this in Mark chapter 10, verse number 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Okay, let me ask you a question. What is the product this man is looking for? Eternal life. Okay? Let's see what Jesus is getting ready to give him the pattern here. And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." Now Jesus, I understand, you know, we all understand salvation is by grace through faith. Jesus is simply trying to get this young man to the place where he accepts Christ instead of his good works. Okay? He's trying to give him to give everything up. Verse 20, the Bible says, "And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Master, hey boss, I've cut all these patterns, right? I've cut all this. I've done cut it right to the line. Jesus said, "Okay, all right." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. I just noticed that today. I've never noticed that before when I was studying this. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me." Look at verse 22. "And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." You know what this man didn't want to do? He wanted to follow the pattern until it went against what he felt was right. He wanted to follow the pattern until it was inconvenient. And then he wanted to deviate from the pattern. Was he going to get the product by this deviation? No. Bible says he went away sorrowful, for he was very rich. You know, folks, God has set up a pattern for us. This book is a pattern for us. You can follow it, or you can deviate from it. The choice is yours. You know, God gave every man a free will. But if you want the product, You got to follow the pattern. All right? There's been several times in my life that I have deviated. I'm talking about physically here. Deviated from patterns that I've had. Okay? And you know what? I never ended up with the product that I wanted. Now, you know, sometimes I looked at it. I looked at, like I said, with my grapple bucket. I didn't really find one. There was one grapple bucket I really liked, but it just, one, it was too expensive, and it had a few features I just wasn't real crazy about. And you know what? I kind of, if I followed any pattern, it would have been that picture that I'd seen, all right? But you know what? I still deviated, but that was because I wanted a different product. Does that make sense? Okay, so I deviated from what I saw in the picture, okay? The playground out here. I've had several people ask me, "Bro, Chad, where'd you get the blueprints for that?" Well, basically, I just seen some pictures, okay? And I seen some playgrounds. I thought, you know, that's kind of cool. That'd be a cool feature. Or that one's kind of neat. But you know what? None of them were as big as what I wanted, okay? And none of them really had everything I wanted. So I just kind of, in my mind, I took the things that I wanted and I tried to build what I wanted. But I still deviated from any pattern that you could have got. But I ended up with a different product too. Okay? So if you're going to follow a pattern, you're going to get the product. If you deviate from it, you will not have the same product. Third thing, so first thing is choose the product first, then the pattern. Remember, any deviation from the pattern produces a different product. The third thing is, and this is just as kind of a statement, and I'll illustrate it. The more valuable the material, the more carefully you follow the pattern. The more valuable the material, the more carefully you follow the pattern. You think about that. You know, guys that cut diamonds for, you know, a tiny, tiny diamond, you know, those just don't come out of the ground looking like, you know, diamond ring style. You know, that they don't come out of the ground like that. They have to cut them, all the facets on them, to make them look the way they do. You know, they have something in their mind that they want to produce. All right, but you know what? If a guy's got a very, very valuable piece of diamond, do you think he just grind a little here, a little there? No, that's a very valuable thing. When I was building the display case out here for the fellowship hall, you know that plastic that's on the front? Okay, you may have thought it was glass. That's actually a plastic, like a plexiglass. That is not really plexiglass, okay? That is, it is plexiglass if you wanted to be informal about it. It's basically bulletproof glass if you wanted to be technical about it. It's bulletproof glass. So, Bro Chad, why'd you get bulletproof glass for the fellowship hall? Well, multiple reasons, okay? But, you know, plexiglass, why didn't you just get plexiglass? Plexiglass has, it looks nice, but has some very bad characteristics if you want it in a public display. Like, if you go to most places, like, if you go to a gun shop and or jewelry store for the ladies, and you're looking in the cabinet, most of the time that's glass. And really, glass is the best thing that you can put in. But with it being in the felt, you know, preacher didn't want some kid chucking something across and, you know, shattering glass everywhere. So we decided to go with like a plastic. But that stuff is basically, I think that was called Lexan is actually what that's called. And it's pretty well, I mean, it's really thin. That was only like 3/16. But you know, and you've probably seen it in the statement if you were reading the financial statement, the stuff wasn't cheap, all right? For a 4x8 sheet, I want to say it was like $150, $200 for a 4x8 sheet. Well, it's not exactly something that you just want to, you know, it's not a piece of plywood, OSB, that I can go down to Bender's and get, okay? This stuff come from California is where I ordered it from. So it's not exact. You know, when I was cutting that, you know, Brother Jeff, how many times I measured? Yeah, it's like, did I measure that right? You know, I'm like looking at it. And then I tape everything. I take tape and I tape all my, where I'm going to cut it so it don't splinter up. And when I'm cutting it, you know, the whole time I'm cutting it, I'm thinking of all the scenarios I can, you know, this is going to kick up and splinter everywhere. And I'm going to have this, you know, $150, $200 piece of Lexan that's destroyed. All right. And you know what? The more valuable it is, Brother Tim, I don't know what kind of stuff you machine, but when you guys got expensive metal coming in, the boss doesn't want to see a carton full of pieces that you didn't follow the pattern on, okay? You know my boss, when I cut all those rafters wrong, he was upset. We'll just leave it at that. But you know what? It was 2x6s, you know? He was a Christian, but he was unrefined on the work site. We'll just say that. If you know what I mean, those of you that kind of deal with people, I mean, you know, sometimes you just get in the heat of the moment. If a guy built something wrong and he didn't like it, he wouldn't tell the guy go disassemble. Sometimes he would if he was in a good mood. Sometimes he'd go tell the guy, you need to go take all that apart. Most of the time, he'd either take a sawzall or a sledgehammer and demolish it. So you built this wall, and it's, you know, 4 inches too short. So instead of just going and, you know, fixing it, he would just take a sledgehammer and just bust the whole thing. And then you have to clean everything up and go rebuild your wall following the pattern that he had. All right? So, I mean, but you know what? It was 2x6s. It wasn't that big a deal. But what about your kids? My kids are the most valuable thing I got. I got some toys. They're tools. I enjoy running tools, so I call them toys. But you know what? That pales in comparison to my kids. So you know what? For my kids, I want to find a product that I want my kids to be. And then I'm going to have to find a pattern that gets them to that product. And then I want to follow that pattern. Because if I deviate, I could be throwing away the most valuable thing I have. I could, you know, that Lexan, I could have, if I deviated from my line, I could have gouged it or cut it or done something that was reduce the value, make it where it's worthless. I don't want to do that with my kids. I don't want to do it with your kids in children's church. You know, they're valuable. I don't want to do it with our bus kids. They're valuable. You know, I don't want to do it with my life. Life is the most precious thing that God's given us. And to just throw it away because you're deviating from a pattern or you're picking a product, you're picking something that I want this with my life. So many people go to Hollywood and choose Hollywood or that type of thing is what they want in their life. And then they wonder why their life, you know, hello folks, go look at the end result. Go look at the end result of that junk. You want that? No, I don't want that. Well, then choose a different pattern. And don't deviate from the pattern once you choose it. Now, you know what? There is good news. A pattern can be deviated any time that you want to. Say, Bro Chad, I started out with the wrong product in mind. And I had the wrong pattern. And I was following the wrong pattern. But you know what? In just the same way you can deviate from a good pattern, you can deviate from the wrong pattern. You know, I've made some pretty cool stuff that wasn't really what it was supposed to be to start with. All right? I mean, it's like, man, that, you know, I throw it in the trash pile, and a month later I'm out there looking. I'm like, I bet I could use that. And I'll go use it someplace else and make something. God can do the exact same thing. God can take something that, man, Brother Chad, I boogered this up bad. It's all right. God can still use you. You know what? My dad preached a message. I also remember in chapel, when he was in chapel, he brought in a jewelry box. And I'm probably the only one who remembers this, but he brought in a jewelry box, and he brought in a piece of firewood and, I don't remember, something else. And, you know, in Proverbs, there's a verse that talks about, I think it's talking about adultery, but it talks about the nails of sin, I think, or the scars of sin or something like that. I don't remember. I should have looked it up. But, you know, he took that jewelry box, and he was showing how pretty it was and everything. And he had another piece of nice wood there. It was just like cherry. He had like a piece of cherry log and a piece of cherry wood and like a cherry jewelry box. And he took a nail, and He drove it into the piece of firewood. You know what? It didn't really make a difference. And then he drove it in a piece of good planed wood. And you know what? Put a pretty significant hole in it. Something that you would have to work around, Brother Don, or putty up or something. But then you know what? He took that nail and he drove it right through that jewelry box. Shattered the glass. Messed the jewelry box up. And I never forgot that. You know, you may not be able, you may have messed up some stuff. And he was talking about the wood and I think the saddest thing is young people that have been following the pattern so long, or they've been given the opportunity to follow the pattern, or myself, you know, I was given the opportunity to follow the pattern to produce something like a jewelry box. Obviously, I'm not anything like a jewelry box. But you understand what I'm saying. To produce something that's usable. Maybe gun case. There we go. But you... Sorry. All that seriousness and... But to produce something good that's usable. And then to have them throw that away. You know, sometimes it's easier to regain. You know, you could still take that piece of firewood and you could still probably turn it down into something pretty cool on a lathe or something like that, or even that other piece of wood, you could make something nice out of it. And you know what? But you have to follow the pattern and don't throw it away. Don't let something stupid deviate you from the pattern. All right, keep right on the straight and narrow. And you know, Paul, we read several places where Paul talked about being followers or an example. And you know, folks, the Bible's full of it. Full of examples, full of people to follow. It's full of examples of people not to follow. That's an amazing thing to me. You think about all the books. Think of all the hundreds of thousands of books that have been written about this book. This book full of examples. And the hundreds and hundreds of different people and different situations. You know, God, the Bible says Jesus was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Jesus was the perfect example for us. You know, he had to be tempted so that we couldn't say, well, God, you never tempted Jesus this way. Well, Jesus was the perfect example. And he taught us how to get through all that stuff. All right? So the three things: choose the product first, then the pattern. Deviation from the pattern produces a different product. And then the more valuable the material, the more carefully you follow the pattern. Let me ask you some things. What have you set for a pattern in your life? Or what do you want to be as a product? What do you want your life to end up being? What kind of pattern are you setting for others? Because whether you know it or not, you are setting a pattern for other people. You are setting a pattern. I learned a lot of stuff from that guy in Kentucky, and he didn't even know he was teaching me. I've learned so much stuff from my dad. He wasn't really particularly, well, now, son, sit down here. We're going to talk about this. No, he didn't. I don't ever remember my dad sitting down, except when I was in trouble. All right? And then there wasn't a whole lot of talking done. It was just, yes, sir, here I go. This is going to be painful. But he taught me a lot. Men in this church, I love spending time with you guys because I learn so much. But you never know who you're going to be teaching. So be careful what you do. Be careful what you say. Be careful what you wear. People notice. People pay attention to that stuff. So who are you, what kind of pattern are you setting for others? Because you never know, there may be one of these young men that are just, they kind of got their eye on you, or a young lady. They're watching you. And they'll do what you do. They'll do what you do. And then can you say this? Can you say this? Could you go to somebody and say, hey, follow me. Follow me. You can do what I do. You can be safe in doing what I do. You can be safe in saying what I say. You can be safe in wearing what I wear. Follow me, like as Paul said, follow me. I'm following Christ. Follow me. I won't lead you astray. Can you say that? Can I say that? Could I say to one of these young men, or can I say to the kids in Children's Church, hey, You can follow me around all week this week, and you can do exactly what I do. Would they get in trouble? Would they come home with something on their... It's amazing when you have kids, you don't realize sometimes the things that you say that become a, like, Gwen, she's always like, Like, that's not proper. It's yes, sir, no, sir. But you know how often I hear Rachel ask me something. Not that I say yes, ma'am, to my wife, but... But you, I'll be like, I'm like, Gwen, stop it. And then my wife asks, But you know what? And if you're a parent, you know it's true. You think, man, I got to get on to him for that. And then a few minutes later, you say the exact same thing. You're like, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. But you know what? Can you tell somebody, say, follow me. I'm following Christ. You can follow me, and we'll get to the finished product together. Can you say that? If not, what do you need to do to change it? What do I need to do to change it? What do I need to do to help my kids be better?